Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Language Processing class for the 22nd of September. Today's the 12th day of the semester. Today, we're going to talk about something called Unicode, and I think it's only going to take us one day to talk about this. So wake up. I don't have anything new to add to the course organization. So with respect to lists, well, the quiz was our review of lists. If you have any questions, now would be the time to bring them up. Go ahead and open Spider. You don't have to import anything in particular right now. So I'm going to approach the topic a little bit sideways. So I wanted to ask you something. This is kind of fun and interesting. And in fact, well, you'll see. So type in this line of code right here. Not too difficult. No, there's no spaces in there. There's no spaces within the quotes. Now, I'm beginning to wonder whether I should just not put spaces around the equal sign so you know that there's just no spaces in there. So my question is, can this string be sorted? Okay. That's sort of like cheating. Can this string be sorted? The answer, as you may have found out, is yes, it can, and it produces a list like this. Then the question becomes, why is the asterisk first, and then numbers, then the at sign, and uppercase comes before lowercase? I don't know. So we're actually going to find out why it works this way. That's sort of as an aside to the general topic, but understanding why this works this way is going to lead us to a way of how to deal with non-English characters in our text. So here's my real introduction, and I spent all Sunday rewriting this chapter. So imagine your program's it's plowing through a whole bunch of text. It hits this word right here, and it chokes. So imagine it wants to find the length of this word. Now, if you know where these special characters are, you're welcome to type them in. I mean, I know where they are on the Mac. I don't know where they are on PCs. But you're welcome to type this in, and I think you actually can type it in. At least on the Mac, you can type it into Spider. Anyone want to make a guess? If you've typed this in, what is the length of this word? Anyone want to make a wild guess? Okay. I'm sorry, I deleted my answer. Yes, the answer is indeed 7. That may come as a surprise to you. Like, this is, I wish I could write 7 right here, but it would stay there forever. The answer is 7. Obviously, so two things are going to happen. Your program's smart enough to know that that's an insane answer, and it crashes. Or your program doesn't realize that that's an insane answer, keeps on going, and at some point starts to do unexpected things because it got an insane answer and just kept on going. So this is a problem. With text processing, this is a problem. And today we're going to learn how to deal with this problem and indirectly understand the weird sort sequence. So go ahead and import find all. So my second question, you might think in your naivete that this is actually a 5-letter word. Okay. So we now know two ways to test this. You can test it, you know, the simple-minded way just by using length. You can test it the much more sophisticated way by using a regular expression that you want to make five alphanumeric characters long, for example. What is the result of this statement right here? Because I think I deleted my answers from this. Nothing. Yes, you get the null. You just get brackets with nothing around them. The null list. Well, that's almost worse than the first, than line number 2, which gave us and what appears to be an incorrect length. This gives us, this actually essentially crashes. Well, it doesn't crash. It gives us 0, which is probably an even worse answer, because we know that there's some characters in this word, you know, there's not zero characters in this word. So try this, change the alphanumeric class to just the regular dot meta character, which finds every character. It should find every character. What's the result from this? Again, I think I erased it to save space. Did anyone get a result? Okay, we'll see. That's not a wrong answer. It's just incomprehensible to what we know now. There I typed out T. Yeah, this should be, I was trying to save space. This should be on the next line. That's pretty incomprehensible too, I think. That's what you got. Okay, good. That's pretty incomprehensible too. So let's go ahead. I'd like to find out more about this string. The problem is the string is actually a list. I mean, it's the only element of a list. So to get the string back, I have to convert the list to a string. This is why we did we learned about joining and splitting, because often most of our methods give lists as a result, but you know a lot of our processing has to do with strings, so we have to constantly go back and forth. And then go ahead and print up the string. Print strings, and it tries to display the string in a way that it thinks you will understand best. I'll put it that way. A little mysterious what it does. So, and notice there's no, this is the empty string. There's no space between the two. So what, did you get a print? Did something print?
Yeah.
What'd you get? You got up to here?
Yeah, I'm doing
that. Okay, that's interesting. What did you get?
Same thing, but
no. Okay. Okay. This is not bad. This is why it's when previous versions of this class, it's taken us weeks to work this out because of the kind of y'all are all getting different answers. But that's okay. We can deal with that. So how about this? Try finding seven characters using the dot meta character that should match any seven characters. You should get this, convert it to a string, and then print the string. Print the string and see what you get. What'd you get? Everyone got the original word back? Okay. So what does this show us? Well, Python thinks this is a seven character word. And if we don't deal with it as a seven character word, at least right now, we get huge problems. Of course, it's kind of hard to know beforehand that this is a seven-character word. More generally, what happens is that the way we're dealing with strings right now, the non-English parts of this, that is, the tilde on top of the N and the accent on top of the O, which are not part of the English alphabet, that's making our string handling processing our choke. I mean, we just can't we can't deal with it correctly. Fortunately, there's a simple solution, and that's what we'll talk about. But let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the English character classes, the English letters, the ones we're familiar with. So this is ancient in computer terms. What we call the normal English characters that Python can handle without any problem are called, they're known as the American Standard Code for Information Exchange, which is abbreviated ASCII and pronounced as ASCII, or, you know, in ASCII. And it's just utterly fascinating stuff if you're into what I guess is very geeky stuff. To me, what's fascinating about it is that this standard was created in the 1960s, mainly for teletype machines, and I was going to include an image of a teletype machine. Does anyone know what a teletype machine is?
No,
well, it's now defunct technology. Ultimately, This was based on telegraph codes, at least according to Wikipedia. I haven't actually followed that up. I don't know exactly how that works. But the original teletype machines, which I think were for sending messages over phone lines that would be converted into text somehow. So I can hear the, you would often hear on old movies the noise of, that these things make as they were noisily printing things out. And that this code included the numbers 0 to 9, the English letters that we all know, lowercase a to z, uppercase a to z, the normal punctuation symbols in a blank space, and a bunch of control codes that were needed to make the teletype machines go. And some of them were also on typewriters. They were also used on typewriters. There's two representations of ASCII. This is the one that's easiest to represent in text. There are, as you can see, there are 8 rows and 16 columns. And the order of these things looks kind of random to me. Of course, the letters are organized in alphabetical order as far as that goes. The uppercase letters and then the lowercase letters. And in any event, the first two rows are for the teletype codes that most of them, which are obsolete, but that's actually where like lined endings and form feeds are carried. The delete action is actually right here. It's the very last one. So the long dash just indicates a non-printing character, and the very last one here is actually also a non-printing character. It represents delete. Not that we really need to know that. But notice, so we'll go back to our question. So here's the thing. This is the result. Anyone want to make a wild guess where this ordering comes from? Well, if we look back at the ASCII table, anyone want to guess where the asterisk falls in the ASCII table? Anyone want to guess that it's before 6? Okay, good. Thank you, Craig. Guess that it's before 6. So here's the asterisk right here, and we keep counting like this, and oh, there's 6. And then 6, and after 6 is, oh, look, the at sign. And after the at sign is uppercase A, and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There's some more stuff. Here's the lowercase a. That's actually how Python orders all the symbols by following the order in the ASCII table. Who thought this was an appropriate order? I have no idea. This may go back to something that telegraph operators thought was a good idea. I don't know. Someone thought that this was somehow logical. I don't think it's logical at all, but in any event. This is what we have to deal with. So it's a little bit like technological archaeology. So often with Python, you don't actually have to guess. You can ask Python how this works. And Python has two functions to figure this out. Ord gives the ordinal number of a character. So this is actually the space right here. And if you give Python the command ord string space as a string, you should get what as a result?
32.
Let's go back. Okay, 32. I know that there's 16 columns in each row. So, and notice, oh, we start counting at 0. So 0, 15, 16 and 16, 32. That's the space. So that's where the number comes from. This is in the 32nd position. The space is a 32nd position in the table. Exclamation point, well, exclamation mark. The space was 32nd. Anyone want to guess what the exclamation mark number, what ordinal number it is? You going to go out on a branch here? Going to go out on a limb? Yeah?
33.
Maybe 33? What does Python say? Is it indeed 33? Yes. How about the tilde? Let's go back, tilde. Tilde is next to the last. Can anyone do 8 by 16 in their heads really fast? Okay. Yes. This is the 126. So what number is the delete key? 127. Is that a nice number? No, it's a terrible number. It's probably a prime number for all I know. That's a terrible number. So how many cells are there in this table? 128. Why do you know? How do you know that? I just said this is number 127. It starts at zero. Yes, that's actually the zeroth one. So it's 127 plus 1 is 128. And of course, 16 by 8 has to be an even number. So there you go, 128. So this is, so ASCII was standardized in the mid-60s. This is what most computers, all computers were originally made by English speakers. This is all you need, right? This is just all you need. The people who originally designed computers, they said, oh, we got 128 characters. How could you possibly need any more than that? That's a whole bunch. Well, no, that's not enough. But I got ahead of myself. To do the other way, to go from ordinal numbers to characters, is this CHR, for presumably for character, command. So you can, this just reverses the ones I just gave you. So you can indeed conclude, Python tells you that yes, indeed, character 32 is the space, and the number of the space is 32. So you can go either way. Not that we probably won't have much, if any, call to do this, but it's simple enough, so now you know how to do it if you need to. And it's a good way to really understand how the ASCII table works. Oops, 127. Oh, 127, what's the result for 127? Something, oops, I deleted it again. Remember 127, go back to table. Yes, this, the long dash is a non-printing character. This is the delete key. So Python will correctly not display anything that makes any sense. And I wanted to include that one because the format is important. Sorry. It's actually in the text of the book, which you're welcome to read. So, we've got 128 characters to play with, and we've just seen that won't work for Spanish. It won't work either for French or German or Norwegian or probably for Turkish. Will it work for Arabic? Arabic uses a completely different script. So, it's not even a question of how shall we shoehorn Arabic into these 128 characters. It's just not going to work. Will it work for Chinese? No. Will it work for Russian? No. No, 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 no. So this is obviously a very Anglo-centric, ASCII is an Anglo-centric kind of thing. And given that there was no, for a long time since computers developed after the mid-60s, pretty much everyone made up their own character encoding. So if you wanted to work on non-English Western European languages, say if you just wanted to work on French, well, you might make up your own character encoding to take care of the special French characters. If you worked on German, same thing. If you worked on Arabic, well, you just got to start from scratch. Same thing for Russian, the Cyrillic alphabets. Et cetera, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, all of the Indian scripts, Asian Indian as well as American Indian. So it's just a mess. Everyone made up their own script, and of course, there were different operating systems. So there were different encodings for languages, and they actually differed across operating systems too. Great. Then the internet came along. People wanted to exchange text across the internet. Ideally, you'd have one piece of software to access anything on the internet, like Internet Explorer or Firefox, Netscape, et cetera, but everyone's using a different character encoder. It was a huge mess. So the only way to deal with this mess, you can't It was impractical to just adopt one encoding and make everyone follow it. And it probably wouldn't. I mean, no one would do that. Everyone's going to say, well, we like our encoding better than yours. So, you know, tough. You know, and there's not like there's a world body that can force people to do this. So the only alternative was to make a character set so enormously huge that it could fit all of the scripts of the world. And that's what Unicode is. Unicode is a character encoding that fits all of the languages of the world. It has room for about 1 million characters. As far as I know, only about 110,000 have been implemented. Still sounds like a pretty big number, but there's room to grow. We could invent entirely new scripts for, you know, Klingon and Romulan, and they would fit fine in Unicode, no problem. Of course, having room for 1 million, 1 million characters, of which only about 10% is used for all of the world's languages, and probably for any given language, I don't know, 1%. It's hugely wasteful. So people have settled on sort of a simplification of Unicode. It doesn't remove anything. It doesn't omit anything from Unicode. It just focuses on the stuff that's used most frequently, called UTF-8. It's in the book what that stands for. That has become the de facto standard, at least on the internet, for file formats, for character encodings of files. And it's what we're going to use, since it's what pretty much everyone else uses. So now we have to figure out how to get Python to use it. So this is how Python does character encoding. Python does all of its string processing in Unicode, because Unicode has everything. It won't accidentally omit something that you might need. But Unicode is so huge, it's difficult to deal with. So, and in any event, which means in practice, the text we get will be in a different encoding, usually in UTF-8. So Python says, well, what we're going to do, I will accept any encoding that you can find. I will convert it into Unicode to process it, and then I will allow you to export it as any character encoding you might possibly need. And this is what my diagram tries to show. Python accepts any encoding of a string object you want, but it decodes it, and this is actually the name of the method. It decodes it to Unicode within Python. Then Python does all of its string manipulation, particularly regular expressions. And when you're finished, you've done all of the string processing you want to do, then you use the encode method to convert it to the output encoding that you need, like in our case, at least for English, we'll always, for our Latin character sets, we'll assume it's UTF-8. Now, usually we'll be giving Python UTF-8 input, converting it to Unicode, then converting it back to UTF-8. That seems like going around your elbow to get to your thumb, but that's how Python wants you to do it. And that just makes sure we won't make any mistakes. It's simple enough to do because it's really just two methods. Okay, are there any questions about this layout? This doesn't mean you have to do this. If you wanted to work with Chinese, the same thing, it works just right. You take a Chinese encoding, decode it to Unicode, process it, and then encode it back to Chinese if you wanted to deal with Chinese. Yeah?
If it's dealing with, you mean the pinning system?
That's part of the encoding that you have to decide. Yeah. Python doesn't care. It can encode, decode, and encode, as far as I know, anything you could possibly, anything that's at all common that you can give to it. And that just means within using regular expressions, you'd have to understand the Unicode encoding of pinyin or whatever you're dealing with. Yeah. But we'll look at that in just a minute, at least with our really simple examples. Are there any other questions? So this is what I, at the beginning of the semester, I told you, you know, we all know some English, so you're welcome to work on English. You don't necessarily have to. If you'd rather work on another language, this is how you do it. And really and truly, there's just a couple of extra steps involved. Okay. I want you to check what encoding Spider thinks it's using. So this is you. We only have to do this once. So if you import the sys module and then use this really long method sys.getDefaultEncoding, that should tell you what your Spider or the Spider on your system thinks its default encoding is. Now, this is not really that crucial, though in the past, we've had tremendous problems with figuring this out. But this, I will say that this is not explained well anywhere. Oh, man, it's time. I've talked way too long. Gosh. Okay. I was wondering why everyone started to look antsy. We'll finish up with Unicode on Wednesday. There's just a few more things to say. So sorry I ran over. So everyone have a good afternoon, and I'll see you on Wednesday.